Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Think about that. The Son of God. But yet He made a way that we could become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So God's family has grown immensely since Christ came out of that grave all these hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Look how Christianity has covered the earth. Covered the earth. Christians on every continent, every nation. Amen. There's over 1,000 different languages in the world today. But there's only one language that constitutes God's Word. Amen. The language of love and mercy and truth. Praise God. And God loves us so much, don't He?
Yes, He does.
How many appreciates the love of God
Amen.
Today?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, the Bible is one of the greatest love stories that has ever been written. Amen. There is no book, there is no other manuscript that no author has ever put together that been put together like God's Word. And it is a message of love that far, far goes beyond anything that man can truly comprehend. To this day, I can never understand fully the love of God that He's had toward me. Because no matter how much I look at it, the more it grows, and the more I see how important it is today. And today in the message, I want to read a verse in John chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, "Greater love hath no man." Think about this now. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We all know about the crucifixion. We all know about the terrible agony of being nailed to a cross. And we all know about the nails that was put in his hands and in his feet. Everybody knows the story of the thorns that was pressed upon his head. And everyone knows about the stripes that was put upon his back. And the spear that was thrust into his side, for with came blood and water. You know, that story has been told over and over and over again. But you know, there's one story that no man can tell. And it's that love that he had. It has to be experienced. No one would understand it. No one would comprehend it. It must be experienced for yourself. And you know, no greater love can a man have, he said, than a man laid down. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. I mean, he sacrificed his life. He became the sacrificial lamb. His blood became the blood that was going to be shed for the sins of everyone in the world at that time, and even in all the future generations up to the day we're living in right now. No greater love can a man have than to lay down his life for his friends. Today I'd like to preach a message on through the eyes of love. And you know, when you look at things in this world today, we're in a world where it seems like this message is so important today, because love is waxing cold everywhere you look. Even in people that have served God for years and years, I'm seeing the love of God seem like waxing cold in their life. Amen. And people are becoming negative in their attitudes one toward another. And they're becoming more grouchier than I've ever seen before. We're seeing a hardness creep into people's lives like I've never seen before. And you know, it bothers me, Brother Sean. It it hurts me down in the depths of my heart, because we all must be aware of the times that we're living in. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would wax cold, and we're seeing that today. And I believe it bothers the Lord Jesus Christ when He looks down and He sees all the problems that people are facing today. How many knows Jesus always looks at you through the eyes of love? Sometimes we don't look at one another like that. Sometimes we'll look at someone with disdain in our heart, or maybe we'll have anger in us. And you know, you can't really see the real person when you're looking through the eyes of anger or something like that. The only way you can see the true value of a person is look at them through the eyes of love. And when you do that, you will see how important every single individual is. And I believe right now people are on their way to destruction. Many are, and they don't realize how close we are to the Bible times that it talks about when we're going to see Jesus in the clouds of glory. Jesus is coming soon, and times are running out. But I thought about God's love to us. It says in Romans 5 and 8, But God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we didn't deserve nothing He gave us. We sure didn't earn salvation. We didn't earn nothing that has happened to us. It was given to us because God loves mankind. He loves every individual. And Christ was willing to give His life. And we could be here today. Not only give it, but take it up again. Praise God. He told them one time, "You'll destroy this temple, but in 3 days I will raise it up." Glory to God. How many knows He raised His own temple up by the power of Almighty God that was in Him? And when He came out of that grave, He came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we can have the victory. And so He's already been to hell and paid a price for you and I, that we can escape that place that is called hell. It's not imaginary. It is a real place right now. And it is being filled up. It is filling up with people that don't belong there. God didn't create it for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. But people have chosen the path that they are walking. And hell is enlarging its boundaries right now because of the multitudes that are going into that terrible place. Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended to His Father and sits on the right hand of God right now for the purpose of helping us to understand this tremendous love that He has for you and I. I believe when God looks down upon this world, He doesn't like what He sees right now. He knows everything that's happening. He sees every person that's dying, lost without God. He sees every suicide that's taking place. He sees every broken heart, every agony and pain that people are going through with. And you know, there's only one person in heaven right now, only one person in heaven that is capable of shedding tears, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God cannot cry. The angels of God has no tears to fall. They have no tears to fall for you. But Jesus came and He experienced the sadness when He looked upon mankind and all the darkness of their life, the fears that they were in. And when He looked upon Jerusalem one time, as He looked out and wept over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together like a hen would gather her chicks." He was looking at them through the eyes of that love that He had. Amen. The eyes eyes of love, and he was looking at the terrible tragedies that was going to come their way. He told them about it before he left the earth. He warned them about the fall, the destruction of their buildings, how one stone would not be left unturned. He told them about the coming events, but they would not listen, and they still don't listen today. But God still loves. And I believe sometimes when the Lord looks down upon these people today that are lost without God, I believe He's still capable of shedding those tears, amen, that people are dying lost and not ready to meet Him. Lord, church, I don't know what we would do without the love of God in our life. I don't know how I could survive a moment without knowing that God loved me and that know that I love Him. Amen. When you look at things like this, you see things the way God sees it. And I have been blessed. God has blessed me to be able to see through His eyes. And I've seen some remarkable things because of that. But you know, the most amazing thing that I've ever seen is God's love toward an individual when He takes a broken life and He puts it back together again. When He takes a heart that has literally practically been ripped out of an individual and He mends it and He puts it back together and He restores it and brings happiness and joy back into that life. When I see somebody that the devil has literally tried to destroy with sin and alcohol, and I see God raise them up and sober them up and straighten them up, and the love of God begins to feel their life, and He puts a smile on their face. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be saved today. I'm glad to be a Christian right now. I'm just happy to be a child of God. I don't know how many more Easters we're going to have here on this earth, but I do know we've got this and today, and I want to take advantage of it. I want to make sure that I let God know I love Him today, and I appreciate the love that He has showed for me. Amen. And I thank God that through the eyes of love, Jesus is able to see what you can be when God begins to move in your life. Everybody knows what I was before I got saved, an unbeliever. But God saw a young man that had a hard heart, that needed an experience with Him. Praise God. I thank God. How many thanks God for your experience with Jesus? Man, I'm glad I'm saved today. Amen. And I'm hoping that every single one of you will make heaven your home. But you can't do it on your own. You've got to be introduced to God's divine love. You got to realize that God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you said and what actions you have committed. God loves you because He sees you not as just you are, but what He can make you into. Praise God. How many knows how to make things? Lord, you're proud of what you make, aren't you? I believe God is honored just to be able to transform a life into His image, make you like unto Him, that He could shower His love upon you. God looks at things like that. We kind of look at things through natural eyes sometimes. I've seen Christian people look at another person in church at different times or different churches that I've been in, and they didn't look through the eyes of love. They had something against that individual. They were carrying a grudge or something. Instead of looking them in the eye with a smile, they would look at them with a little bit of anger. That's not the way God looks at us. What if God's love was to cease right now for mankind? What if He didn't love us no more? What if Jesus didn't love us? I know it's not possible, but what if He didn't love us right now? We would be at the mercy of the devil. And how many knows He has no mercy at all? We would be destroyed. We would be wiped out. Humanity would cease to exist upon the earth. But it can't be like that, because the Bible has to be fulfilled. And God's love is eternal. He'll love you even if you end up in hell. Do you think He gets pleasure out of people that are dying lost. He gets no pleasure out of that. I believe it grieves. It grieves the Holy Ghost to see people dying lost without God. But they're doing it. And it's heartrending, heartbreaking to see these same. I thought back when Jesus was called to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus had died and been buried, and he had laid there for 4 days. And you know, when you're buried at that time, you begin to go back to the dust of the earth. Your body is beginning to decay. Amen. And he went. They called for him, and he finally went to that tomb. And I thought about how Jesus looks at things different than the way we've done it. We would have got there, and we would have mourned the dead, and we would have had a lot of sorrow. But Jesus didn't mourn, just mourned the dead. He called for him and said, Lazarus, come forward. I want you to think about this right now. Sometime when you're in sin, do you realize the environment that you are in, it kind of just overlaps onto your life? I worked in a machine shop all of my life, just about. Worked with oil and different types of cleaning fluids and things like that. And you know, just by being in that environment, when I would go home from work, when my children were little, they used to always told me I smelled, because my clothes would take on that smell of oil and different types of solvents and things. And so your environment has an impact upon you, don't it? And so my little children didn't want me to pick them up or nothing, because my clothes had the odor of a machine shop on them. If you work in a gas station, you'll come home smelling a lot like gasoline and oil and things like that. And I thought, if you was to go out and sit in a bar all day long, and even though you didn't smoke a cigarette or you didn't even drink a beer, if you stayed there any length of time, when you come out, you're going to smell like beer, and you're going to smell just like the cigarette smoke that was in there. How many knows that's a fact? That's the way it is. You will come out smelling just like your environment. And I thought, when he called out Lazarus, said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth bound in grave clothes. Amen. Bound in grave clothes. You know what Jesus said? Loose him and let him go. When we come out of sin, we've got grave clothes all over us. I mean, we got to get loose from the things that killed us and separated us from God. He said, loose him and let him go. Amen. Lazarus came back to life, but I believe those clothes still smelled of death. Amen. I believe they still had that death smell on them. He said, loose them and let them go. Get rid of the grave clothes. When you come out of sin, you got to get rid of the sin. How many know sin stinks? Can I have an amen? Sin stinks. It has an odor, amen, that is a foul smell in the nostrils of God. That's why God sent His Son to save people from their sins and to cleanse us from our sins. Glory to God. Amen. But you know, God is able to do it. Lazarus came forth out of the death state of death. Amen. He was loosed and let go. Praise God. I believe Jesus didn't see just a dead man. He already told him Lazarus sleepeth. He already knew what he was going to do. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, those God wants to raise every person on earth from that life of deadness that is in sin. Amen. Brother Todd said he lives. Amen. He does live. I mean, he's alive today. I'm alive with Jesus. Amen. I'm alive with Jesus. He lives and gave us the privilege to live again. But we don't have to live. We can stay dead to the Lord. We can stay dead to Jesus Christ all we want to. But if you're not careful, you'll end up in a pigsty. Like the prodigal son. How many knows he was with the Father? There's people that's gone back on God, Brother Lawrence. He was with the Father, but he got a looking out after things of the world. And he went out after those things of the world. After he had spent everything that he had that was worth anything, he began to be in want. You know, this is not just about an individual. A lot of people think it's about one individual that's gone away from God. This is really, in reality, mankind that has took the goodness of God and gone out and wasted it. And we're living in a nation today that has wasted God's goods like nothing I've ever seen before. Amen. And right now, as you know, the prodigal son, after he spent everything that he had, he ended up in a pigsty, a pig pen, feeding the husk to the hogs. I mean, no, sometimes that's the bottom of the barrel. That's as far as you can go. And that's the way our nation has gone today. You may not realize it, but our nation has gone down into the pigsty. Amen. Mankind is sinning like nothing I've ever seen before. But I got to reading about that prodigal son, how he came to himself. I mean, no, we got to get our mind open. We got to come to our right mind sometime. He remembered what he had in the father's house. Lord, I never want to get down in a pig pen to have to look back and see what I had in the father's house. It's best not to go there to start with. He said, I'll go back and I'll tell him I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called thy son anymore. Just make me a hired servant. And he took his journey back to the father's house. And he's read that maybe over and over and over again. But you know what happened? Amen. The father saw him a long way off. Glory to God. Now I want you to think about this right now. Sometimes, you know, in our hardness of heart and our way of looking at things, we may frown on certain types of people. We may look down on certain types of people. We may see a drunk laying in the gutter and kind of look down on that individual because we're not looking through the eyes of love. You see somebody that's not living according to your standards, and you might look down on them a little bit, thinking that you're higher than they are. That's a wrong way of looking at things. You are what you are, but by the grace of God, you didn't make yourself. God purchased you with a price, and you are what you are, but by the grace of Almighty God. The Father saw him coming. Now, this man had been in the pig pen. He's been in a pig pen, and he was on his way home. I want to show you what love is, and I wonder if you would do the same thing. I wonder if your love could even compare to what that father's love was. When that man came out of that pig's pen, he still stunk like the pig pen. You know what I'm talking about? When he came out of there, if you've never been around one, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I used to follow the hog trucks over on Spring Grove Avenue to that Conn's meat packing over there. I used to work on Spring Grove Avenue. And man, when I'd get behind a hog truck, I could not tolerate it. I couldn't stand it. The wind would blow that odor and it would come into my car, come up inside of it. And I couldn't stand it. And Lord have mercy, I used to hate to see a truck in front of me like that. When that man came out of that hog pen, he smelled just like the hogs. But I want to show you what love is. The father saw him a long way off and went and embraced him. You see what I'm talking about? Embraced him and pulled him in. You see, God doesn't worry about the smell because he's going to clean you up. He's going to make sure you get a good, a healthy cleaning when you get there. Glory to God. And there's nothing better than see somebody with the joy of the Lord in their life. All cleaned up, a servant of the living God. Praise the Lord. You know what happened when he got home? He had a robe put on him. Had a big party made. He put a ring on his hand. And they started having a party for him. God is willing to have a party for you if you're willing to come. You're invited. You're invited. You can answer that invitation or throw it in the garbage. Amen. It goes either way, don't it? Praise God. But that prodigal son made it back home. Amen. He did never, as far as I know, never went to a pigsty again. Never had to eat pig food again. Praise God. How many is glad you're serving the living God today? Lord, have mercy. Church, we ought to be praising God today. We ought to be thanking God today. We ought to always look at things. things through God's eyes. And when you do, you'll see the real value of a person. Even though you've been eating garbage for years, God's ready to feed you angel food. He's ready to invite you to a feast, ready to invite you to a food that only Jesus is going to gird himself and serve us in that kingdom. Glory to God. But you've got to be ready, because you never know what state you're going to be in. You never know how you're going to find yourself tomorrow. You never know that. Sister is telling me about her cousin just died. Think he took his life. Not for sure how it happened, but just, you know, he's gone now. Lord have mercy. Church, people are like that all the time. We heard about the man that was killed over on 75, shut the road down. People were out of their cars for 3 hours. They couldn't move. They were just out of their cars. And I saw them at the fire department with the hose washing things down. That man must have been just tore apart when that truck hit him. Didn't know it was coming. Church, we don't know what's going to come our way. We read in the Bible about a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way he fell among thieves. And, you know, they stripped him of his raiment and they beat him and they didn't have no mercy upon him. Left him half dead, laying right there in the road. Left him half dead. I mean, knows that's the way the world will leave you. They'll strip you, they'll beat you, and when you're down, you won't have nobody to help you. You'll end up in the gutters, half dead, laying there. And here come this religious priest. Walked up to him, looked at him, passed by on the other side. Isn't that the way it is today? And here come this Levite, came down, stopped, took a look at him, wonder what happened to him. Walked by, passed by. Man laying there, half dead, beaten, robbed. But here come a Samaritan. Looking through God's eyes, he saw something worth saving. Had compassion upon him. Took him up, put him on his own animal. Took him to the inn. Had his wounds fixed up. Paid for his board. Said, if it's any more, anything else, on my next trip, I'm going to take care of it. How many knows when you love people, you'll go overboard for them? Praise God. I like to ask you, which one would you be? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? How many wants to be the Samaritan that reaches down and give a helping hand to a person that's in need? Church, I don't know how you feel, but in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5, it says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And in Jude 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How many's got your eyes open today? Praise God. This is a blessed day that we're having. Jesus is alive. And alive forevermore. And I'm looking forward to seeing Him in the clouds of glory. And you know, Brother Sean, unless, like you preached several times, unless we repent, unless we are convicted of our sins and repent, we'll not enter in. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we'll be left behind. Let's stand all over the building.